What would a government shutdown mean for the rest of us?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open. A look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, the White House and Congress are still trying to agree on budget cuts to avert a government shutdown. We'll ask what exactly would shut down. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up. The Dow's up 45 points at 12,439. The NASDAQ up almost a full percent, and the S&P 500 up about a half percent. The satellite TV provider Dish Network is buying Blockbuster. Dish says it wants to reestablish Blockbuster's brand as a leader in video entertainment, and there are indications it will use the company's 1,700 remaining stores to do so. Now let's get to the budget negotiations going on in Washington. They don't seem to be going anywhere. And if there's no deal by Friday, the government shuts down. Richard DeKayser is an economist with the Parthenon Group, and he's with us live now, as he is every Wednesday. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
So if there is a government shutdown, it seems like the key words in terms of what stays open and what shuts down are essential and non-essential. Explain.
Well, three classes of workers are defined as essential. Those who provide national security, so that's basically all the armed forces. Those who pay benefits, Medicaid, Medicare, and Social Security, for example, as well as those who are responsible for protection of life and property, so federal prisons, for example. Those people would stay on the payroll. They'd continue to work. And the Postal Service, which is entirely self-financing, is also exempt, so you'll continue to get the mail. If we look back at 1995, when we had a brief shutdown,
right,
about 30% of federal workers were furloughed.
And what about non-essential, Richard? What does get shut down?
Well, we've got the parks, of course, and the Smithsonian Museum. So people who are planning to visit those locations will be shut out.
What about the IRS, Richard? That's we're in tax time.
We are. You can continue to send in your payments, but they will not be processing refunds during that time. So, again, here's a class of important activity. Last time around, again, in 1995, about $400 million supposedly was not received because of these workers not being on the job to do that.
Richard DeKayser, economist at the Parthenon Group, thanks for your time.
It's been a pleasure.
Three of the nation's largest cell phone companies are launching a test run for mobile payments in Salt Lake City. AT&T, T-Mobile, and Verizon will let riders of Utah's transit system pay for tickets with their phones in the hopes that we can all pay for all kinds of things with our phones soon. For more on mobile payments, let's bring in Marketplace's Steve Henn. He's with us now from Silicon Valley. Good morning.
Good morning.
So this seems like a no-brainer, Steve. I mean, my maps are on my phone, my email's on there. Why shouldn't my credit card be?
Well, people have been paying with mobile phones in Japan and Europe for ages, so the technology is all there. The biggest problem in the States is that there are literally millions of retailers who would have to buy new credit card processing machines that could talk to your phones before this can happen. And they're worried about fees and those fees going up. So, you know, it's a huge market. Lots of people want to crack it. There's something like $3.5 trillion in payments made each year with plastic. But getting the retailers to spend the money to buy new machines is the big hurdle.
And who are the players, Steve, who want to get into this game of mobile payments?
Well, you know, at times it feels like pretty much everyone. Google, Apple possibly could get into it. There are startups like Bling Nation, established companies like Verifone. Even Jack Dorsey, the co-founder of Twitter, has a startup that would turn a phone into sort of a virtual cash register. His company is called Square, and Dorsey thinks within a generation, cash could almost disappear.
I use cash less and less. For instance, I locked myself out of my apartment last night, and I was expecting to have to go rumble up some cash and go to the ATM, but I was delightfully surprised that my locksmith took Square, so I could just pay with my credit card, and it was completely secure.
Completely secure, he says, Steve, but obviously that would be a big question. Is it going to be secure to use your phone as a credit card?
Well, that is a big question, you know, and it's one of the biggest challenges for the industries. Dorsey's company, Square, has been accused of being hackable by people who can convert his little credit card reader into a machine that would just steal your credit card information. Cell phones generally are pretty insecure devices. They talk to lots of different things, wireless networks and cell phone towers. And security experts I've talked to said this is really going to be the biggest challenge for this industry, figuring out how to really lock down a cell phone and make it safe.
Marketplace's Steve Henn joining us from Silicon Valley. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing retirement solutions in the U.S. that can help to guarantee income for life. AllianzUSA.com. By Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud. And by MassMutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at MassMutual.com/mutuality.
Today, pro football players take their battle against team owners to a courtroom in Minnesota. They're asking a judge to end the three-week-old NFL lockout. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports advertisers and TV networks that air NFL games are already drawing up contingency plans.
Sunday Night Football brings in tens of millions of viewers. Easy. America's ready. Set the big boys free. 'Cause the NFL rocks on NBC. It also rocks on CBS and Fox. Advertisers throw $3 billion a year toward pro football. That's around 4% of total TV advertising in the U.S. Bill Carroll is vice president of Katz Television Group.
The NFL is the most significant way in which both advertisers and the networks are reaching younger men.
Carroll says some advertisers are planning to buy time on traditional primetime shows. Sports economist Craig Depkin says fans will still want to watch athletes, just other ones.
This could lead to boons for college sports or for other professional sports that we're not watching right now, things like soccer, perhaps.
If only soccer could figure out how to take more commercial breaks. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And finally, to dish soap. Consumer Reports has just tested out 14 dish soaps from the $2.10 Ajax right up to a $15 bottle called The Laundress. And the magazine found that they all worked equally well at cleaning dishes. No difference. So I guess you can scratch fancy dish soap off the list of things to impress your friends with. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
If you've got sticker shock when you walk into the grocery store, you're in the same boat as shoppers all over the world. Global food prices are rising steadily, but not at the same pace everywhere you go.
So some countries import food, some countries export food, and other countries are basically self-sufficient in food and don't really participate much in international markets.
I'm Bob Moon, the discrepancy in global food prices. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.